What you trying to get into? I dare you. What you trying to do?
Mm.
You know, I'm going to be honest with y'all.
Go ahead, girl.
Like this episode that we had to watch for today's podcast.
Yeah. Mm.
The chaos gets to you quick, yo. It gets to you real fast, man. That shit is not no bullshit, man. It's like, bam, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm back in it. It's crazy, man.
You mean lockdown, you mean?
No, I'm talking about just life in general. Listen, we've had the luxury to be able to do our podcast from the comfort of our own home.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of people out there, I got a job.
Right.
So now I have to work during this crazy time. So the anxiety of that already, bam, in your face. Dude, I've been COVID tested more than I've... Listen, man, you can't tell me the tests aren't out there. I'm getting tested like crazy.
Yeah. And do you feel... Is your anxiety lower? Because when I was doing my directing
gig... It's so high.
Oh, see, I had the opposite. When I was getting tested, like, not only would we... For the job I did, we'd have the longer test. It takes... like 2 days. And then every morning we had a 15-minute test. Those aren't as reliable, but it was just kind of like a safeguard. And I felt great knowing at least I was finding out every day a strong percentage of a chance that I didn't have it.
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say how we do our testing thing. I'm not going to tell
you. You haven't even mentioned the show. You can just.
Perfect.
No one knows.
Excellent. Every 2 days you get tested.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're not working.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's the only way you can operate. And by the way, none of that's going to be able to operate very long. I mean, if we look at the trajectory of what's happening here in Los Angeles, it's just, I mean, they have to do a full shutdown. I'm sorry. I know that's bad news, but this fucking ridiculous mixed message of, all right, we're cutting down restaurants. Restaurants are closed except for delivery, but the mall is still open. Like, it's like, the way I understand and respect they're trying to save businesses, but it's just it's beyond the rate. Is the hospital beds are running out, so it's just I'm sure we're destined for a full lockdown.
It's a horrible thing, man. I don't know how you combat this. I don't know how you fight this fight right now, man. It's the mixed messaging, the freaking.
Well, the best thing you can do is not leave your fucking house unless you have to.
Agreed.
That's the most proactive thing you can do is not fucking leave your house unless you have to. You can, you know, if you have to go to the grocery store, you have to go to the grocery store. You can also have them delivered if you want. But don't fucking leave your house. I know you have a job, but at least when you go to your job, you've been tested and everyone's been tested.
That shit's crazy just to watch everybody say, and roll sound and all the masks come off. For all the actors and background, it's like, whoa, I feel naked. You feel naked.
I know, it's bizarre, right?
It's like you're breathing air that you shouldn't be breathing.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, I know. I saw it for, you know, when we did my thing, it was just one actress, a wonderful, famous actress that I can't say who it is yet, but she, it was like protect the queen bee because she's the only person when they call rolling that takes off her mask. So everyone steps away. Everyone's got both a mask and a face shield on.
And a shield.
And
which I don't get. I don't get the shield, man. I understand you want to stop stuff, but the aerosol comes around the shield. It's not like it's just a straight shot. That shit goes everywhere.
Well, it's better than nothing. It's like multiple layers of listen, if you were protecting your castle, you might just have a moat. You might just have a moat, or you'd throw fucking Crocs in the moat. I would have fucking Crocs in my moat.
The shield also protects you from rubbing your eyes, which is the way a lot of people contract it. Keeping your hands off of your face is like a big
stops
part
you from
of
touching your
stopping COVID.
That's great. You know what
I want a fucking Mandalorian mask.
I want a true life Mandalorian mask that can freaking block out all of that shit.
There's no reason you can't be wearing. You could wear your Mandalorian mask to set.
Yeah, wear it.
It doesn't block out the aerosol like the real Mandalorian mask. Speaking of Mandalorian, Zach, you have an apology to make to everybody out there.
I didn't watch the latest, and I'm sorry, but I had to do something. I haven't seen the latest.
Did you see the one with Rosario?
I saw the one with Rosario. Yeah.
Yeah, you have an apology to make to all of these people out there. You said this series. This listen, for everybody out there, he's not going to apologize because he probably still thinks it's whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Woo! I hope they unlatched, mamas. Woo!
Listen, I'm not going to. I think it's a wonderful show. Did you watch The Undoing?
I haven't seen the finale, but I love it. It is white people mess.
It's really, I mean, I don't want to say it's great because it's shy of being great, but it's very entertaining.
It's so, Nicole Kidman will play the hell out of like a betrayed wife. Like her facial expressions, I want to live inside of them. It's so good.
It's very entertaining. The other thing you got to watch, I highly recommend, Donald, maybe even you'll watch this, is the Heaven's Gate documentary. Which is about that cult that did the mass suicide. I don't know if you remember them. They
aliens coming and they
yes, the Hale-Bopp comet, and they took barbiturates and did I think 30 something of them killed themselves because they believed they were getting on a spaceship that was trailing behind the Hale-Bopp comet that was going to come pick them up. And it's still to date, this is the largest mass U.S. suicide ever. But it's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, the power of manipulation, man.
This guy told his followers that, listen to this, I'm going to spoil one story for you. He's like, I think maybe, because they were supposed to be asexual. They were supposed to be like monks. He's like, I think we should maybe, I'm having some feelings, he said, and I think we should probably castrate ourselves. Now, hospitals aren't going to let us do this, so we should probably do it here. And they're like, okay, yes, leader. Yes, oh, leader. All right. So then he goes, now, I don't want to get in trouble for this. So he writes a sign in handwritten letters above the door of the room where they're going to do it. And he writes the word Mexico. He goes, now, if anyone tells you where you got castrated in Mexico. Okay. So they bring the first guy in to cut off his scrotum. And as you can imagine, it goes horribly wrong. And they get the ball sack off. But the dude is screaming in pain, and his whole groin starts to blow up like so big.
Oh my God! What?
So they start panicking.
Did they show it? Did they show it?
No, because it wasn't videoed. But they're all telling these stories. All these people that are still alive, people that didn't actually go through with the suicide. So they call a priest because they think a priest will help them. Like because maybe the priest understands their desire to be. Castrated, and the priest is like, what the fuck are you talking about? No way. And then they go, okay, finally they give up. They got to go to the emergency room. They take in the emergency room, and they run away, but they still have the ball sack in their hands, and they're like, what do we do with this ball sack? So they throw it off a bridge.
Oh, wow.
They threw the ball sack off a bridge into a river.
I thought you were going to say something way more climactic, like, so they ate the ball sack.
So they ate the ball sack.
Oh, my God.
Heaven's Gate, guys. I highly recommend it. I'm very interested in cults. I mean, not to join one, in studying them. I find them fascinating.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah. They threw the scrotum off a bridge. Go ahead.
Let me get this straight. Isn't there a line that all of a sudden... You know, because nobody wants to be judged, right? So you'd have to be able to go into this without judgment to be able to study cults. Like, let's say you were able to do something like that, to be able to go in and be a documentarian and study cults.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think at some point some of the message starts to seep in, though?
It's very interesting. You know, something I learned from watching this documentary is you might think, oh, these people are simpletons who've been brainwashed and had their mind taken over. And they have obviously in the documentary interview lots of cult specialists, and they say they're very often very intelligent people. You know, in fact, in this cult, a lot of them were computer. This was early in the 80s of computers, and they were like computer geniuses. And the way they actually funded the cult was from doing computer work for people because they were very, very smart men and women. So I don't know. It's a certain type of person that is susceptible to it. I don't think just anyone and everyone is susceptible to having their brain sort of taken over by another human being. But as you see from all these cults, from you know, from you name it, from Manson to Waco to Hale-Bopp to lots of them, they're people become so they think that the leader is the Messiah, and they don't want to upset the Messiah. They want to do whatever the Messiah says.
It sounds like my marriage. Ba-da-bum, bum, psh.
How is your marriage? You guys getting along?
I love my wife. We got some good stuff going on, man. Really? It's real nice right now. Why, you heard something?
I just heard that from her that I'm not happy. I'm just kidding. No, your wife's the most in love woman I know.
We're kissing again, I'll tell you that much.
That's oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, you stopped kissing for a while?
Well, you know, you get sick of each other. That's life. That's how it goes.
Mm, but we ended up winning.
Yes, you know, we're in each other's face. You know, for all of you out there who have relationships and you love your relationships, you know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about right now. There's times we look at each other, there's still love there, but it's like I don't necessarily want to talk to you right now.
Do you ever get scared? Like, do you ever get scared when you're angry? And I'm asking you, the listener, as well, even though you can't answer, only these three can. Mm. Do you ever get scared? Like, I fucking am so pissed at this person right now. I don't fucking see how we're ever going to make it the long haul.
No. I don't. I threaten that shit, though. I threaten that shit like
you do?
All the time. Oh, hell yeah, man. That's
what do you say?
One.
Like,
I'll be like, well, if you think that way, then I don't see how we're going to make it the long haul.
Oh,
exactly what you said.
That feels pretty manipulative.
Absolutely, it's the way to get what you want. Absolutely, I'll admit to that.
And Daniel, goes, how about you?
Right
you
when
ever...
I do that, right when I'm sorry to cut you off, and then you can get to Daniel. But right when I do that, I sense my wife notice. Oh, he's that hurt that he's gonna throw out. He doesn't think we should be.
And what does she
anymore.
Say to that? Does she like? Well, then go then, motherfucker.
Sometimes, and then I'll be like, fine, I'll go, and I'll go up to the bedroom. And I'll sit in the bed, and then she'll come up in there, and she'll be like, and then she'll sit on the bed, and that's all I've ever wanted. That's all I wanted in the first place was us to be in the bed together. And so now we're sitting and we're talking in the bed, and she's, you know what I mean? And she's, you know, telling me how much she loves me, and I'm telling her how much I love her, but now we're communicating even more and listening even more.
So you just need to blow off some steam, and then you... So it sounds like you guys, at least, even though you, of course, are human and blow up, you are able to not go to bed angry and talk it out.
No, there's times we go to, no, there's time. Listen, now we're at the point now where it's like, look, we know what it is that the other person can do to make it so that this is over. Just don't touch those things. Everything else. I'm willing to work through and you're willing to work through. So, you know, if you're angry now, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. This isn't something that can get buried. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's bullshit. Going to bed, not angry. You're going to stay up until like, you're going to have a nervous breakdown. You'll be freaking, what's the dude's name?
Sometimes you need a
Holden
timeout.
Caulfield. Yeah. You'll be that dude, man.
Sometimes you need a timeout and just like, why don't we sleep for 8 hours and
right,
start again.
Right. Why don't we just.
What about you, Daniel?
I think we're kind of still figuring out what those boundaries are, figuring out what those things we are, you know.
Because you're relatively new. You're only 2 years?
Yeah. 10 months. But thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, dude, sorry.
Okay.
What?
What's going on with your background, man? You tool timing it?
Yeah, it's my workbench.
He always has tools, bro.
My workbench, where I build computers.
That's where he builds computers, bro.
I've never noticed that workbench.
Oh, yeah. Before. Well, I also got a new camera, so you can probably see all that more clearly. And also parts of my lunch. I apologize. Assembly, lunch and whatnot.
Well, everybody's upgrading. Look at that. Joelle upgraded. She's now blue. She's no longer making our group chats green anymore.
I can text her from my computer.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I didn't know what you were talking about. Joelle has an Apple phone, guys. And so our group chat is finally sacred again and full blue.
I love it. Looks gorgeous.
I know that some of you are so passionate about your Android phones, and I really don't give a fuck. All I'm saying is I don't want the chat to go green, all right? I don't use my phone for all the shit you probably do. I like to take pictures, and I like to send texts, and I like my text to go blue. All right?
You have to be in the work group.
All right,
chat.
Tim Apple, put me in the campaign, Tim Apple.
That's
we should get into the show, man.
Yeah. Sorry. Why don't you count us in, baby girl?
All right. Now, this is for all my listeners out there.
Make it like an R&B. Make it like an R&B style. Yeah. Dan will lay down a little like R&B style thing underneath.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're happy. Sometimes you're horny, sometimes you're not. But when it comes to fake doctors, real friends, you always got a 5, 6, 7, 8
stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
I missed you. I missed you all.
I missed you guys tremendously, actually.
It's a weird time, and you listeners, we missed you so much. Fucking amazing reaction to John Doris. He was a hit.
Oh yeah,
was he?
Oh, he was a huge hit. I was screenshotting all of these responses to people wrote to him and sending them to Bill solely to piss Bill off, because a lot of people were like, "That's the best guest you've ever had," and then other people were like, "Seriously, that may have been the best show ever. Who needs Bill anymore?" And they're obviously joking, but I just sent them all to Bill just to rile him up. It was amazing.
Love it.
How did Bill take it?
Well, he was like, "This is not funny at all," and it was hilarious. No, but people really loved it, and it made you know, the four of us have been talking, and we're talking about, you know, folding in some shows that aren't just an episode. The person might be related to Scrubs, like John, or they might be not. They might be just an interesting person. So we're gonna start folding in some of those shows as well, right? Right, Adeo Shun?
Yeah, you almost said it right. Adeo Shun.
Adeo Shun.
Adeo Shun.
You know,
what
you're
trying to get into, Adeo Shun.
You're giving me a complex such that I'm just going to say Shun and not go for the whole name, because now I'm like starting to get in my head about it.
It's all good. Don't trip.
But yeah, so we're going to fold in some of those. And
I like that.
Yeah, you know, we should also talk about the onesies. I can't believe the onesies sold out in a day.
You know, I told you, when you make them comfy, there's something about that, man. Snuggly and cozy is a great thing. And, you know, there's nothing like having your and my face on someone's body.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that's something
all over
great
your
about
body.
That.
Whatever your
all
favorite
over your body.
Wherever your favorite area of your body is, whether it's inner thigh or back of your neck, you can have me and Donald on it. From your taint to your throat.
Okay.
And everything in between, from your toes to your taint to your throat. That'd be a good sales motto for the onesie.
From the rooter to the tooter.
Covering you with Zach and Donald from the toe to the taint to the throat.
I don't like it.
By the way, it was very fun
just
that they
taint,
sold
the
out.
The word taint. From the toes to the
throat. Joelle,
you
don't like the word taint. It's a great word.
Oh, no.
Okay, I guess that's a no. You probably also hate the word moist. Everyone hates the word moist.
I also do not like that word.
Okay.
I don't mind moist.
Yeah.
What about
big cake?
I mean, what about panties?
That doesn't bother me so much.
Okay.
What panties bothers people?
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like panties and moist are popular ones that make women cringe. Sorry, Joelle.
It's okay.
What word makes you guys cringe? Is there a certain word?
No, there's no word that makes me cringe. The chalkboard sound. That
yes, I can't fuck with the chalkboard sound.
Do
you
I
know
can't.
The scariest part of Jaws is when that motherfucker does his nails on the chalkboard? I just recently rewatched Jaws, and I was only frightened when the chalkboard thing happened. I can't do that.
Make my teeth hurt to think
masterpiece
about.
Of a movie still, though, man.
Yes,
still
it is. It is.
Still, to this day.
It is
Jaws.
A masterpiece. It is a masterpiece, Mr. Spielberg. Mm. And Donald and I did a charity reading of The Goonies, which was a lot of fun, speaking of Spielberg. It was all to benefit the organization No Kid Hungry, which you can still donate if you're feeling like you can and you are able. It's a wonderful cause that is raising money for child hunger in the United States.
I know that we raised $100,000 on the night.
130 the night of.
Oh, my
right.
God.
Oh, congratulations.
That is,
let's go. Well
that
done.
Is over 1 million meals.
Yeah.
Wow.
For hungry children in this country. And as we all know, because of the pandemic, there are so many people anxious about where they're going to get their next meal. And if you have even a buck, even a spare dollar, you go to nokidhungry.org and you can donate. And so we did this reading, and it was a lot of fun because Donald and I both grew up loving the Goonies. And there we are. You know, they asked me and Donald and Josh Gad and Kristen Bell and Gene Smart to read all the roles that weren't, you know, the original cast. And Cary Elwes did the narration. And if Donald and I were like just kids in a candy store, I mean, just watching them read. The funniest part of all was, for me, was watching. So it's time for Sean Astin to do the monologue where he's in the wishing well. And he's like, it's our time down here. Down here, it's our time. And I'm looking over at Donald's Zoom window, and he's mouthing along every single word of the monologue. Like, that's Donald, so Donald, you have that script memorized. Because I hadn't seen it since for so long, but I loved it as a child. And I'm looking over. I was more entertained watching Donald mouth along every word of the script than watching all the
time. Yeah, you know what was messed up is that a lot of them didn't do it like they did it in the movie. And that kind of
they were trying to have like a new take. They were like, right, you know, at 45, I'm going to do a new take of it.
Oh, that's cracked me up, though. I was like, come on, man, do it like the movie. Because I'm sitting there trying to hit every beat like the movie and everything. Right. But it was so awesome.
Did I do a good job on my lines with the
new
movie?
You did a great job.
Do you remember when the father rips up the note? Yeah. That was me.
Or
not now or ever again. Oh, man, it was so funny. But actually, Donald, we were on the rehearsal, and Donald's like, guys, this was hilarious. The whole cast. Donald knows the script better than the cast. And Donald's like, guys, you're actually missing a line here. I'm not sure if it was improv by the actor at the time, but do you want me to say X, Y, Z? And they were like, oh, yeah, sure, Donald. Go ahead and say that. But they were cool, right? Corey
it
Feldman.
It was amazing. Corey Feldman, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. And they were all
Martha, it was good to see Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, again, Martha Plimpton read it just like her character did.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
Martha Plimpton was funny because she said something about how she said, at a certain point in the shoot, I just stopped competing for the lens, meaning like all those little kids were such hams. They all knew they were trying to get their screen time. Really? And she's like, at a certain point, I kind of just relaxed and stopped fighting for the lens. And I thought that was funny. This many years later, she remembers that.
I forgot about this line. This is what I was going to say. I forgot about this line in the movie. And then she did it. And she did it exactly like the movie. Bran, God put that rock there for a purpose. And I don't think that you should move it. And then he moves it. He goes, hello? And then the bats come out. And she said it just like when she did it in the movie. And it was... Yeah. I remember thinking, wow, that was really interesting. She had a lot of in there. And then you look at the script and is at every moment. Like, that was what was really weird.
Well,
like,
some
of the things that I was like, well, because some of the things that happen in the movie, like when he drops the picture in the closet and then he goes, what are you doing? After he dropped the picture, all of that shit's in the script. It was all in the script.
No, I think I know for a fact. You weren't at rehearsal because you were working. What they did was they made a hybrid production draft, because what happened, what the movie became was very much different from the script. I mean, they went off in a lot of different tangents. They cut a bunch of stuff. The kids improv, of course. Mm-hmm. So in order to deliver a reading of the Goonies for the audience that knows the script, they had to adjust the script to reflect the movie. So a lot of stuff like that got put in. There's a really funny moment at the end where Key, the young Asian kid, says, oh, you wouldn't believe it. There was an octopus. And there's never an octopus in the movie because they had shot a scene with an octopus and cut it out. And for some reason, Dick Donner, the director, left it in. But and you can actually see, if you're curious, you can go find all sorts of wacky Goonies cut scenes, like the octopus dancing.
I'm glad they cut that part out.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's so out of the tone of the movie.
Yeah.
All right, should we talk about Scrubs?
We should. We should totally talk about Scrubs.
Very good episode.
But before we stop, I just want to shout out Pantera Sarah, who we've both known since pretty much we've moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
For making it so that we could be a part of the Goonies read. So
yeah.
Thank you,
Sarah. And also allowing us to be a part of such an awesome charity like No Kid Hungry. Because it felt like we were, it was win-win. We got to act like fools with our childhood heroes, and we got to raise money for NoKidHungry.org.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words. I laughed a lot on this episode, and there's a lot of firsts in Scrubs. Like
not only a lot of firsts, but like a lot of memes also in this episode.
Yep. Most famously, the first appearance of World's Most Giant Doctor.
Yes. And are who knew there was actually a real giant doctor?
Yeah, Chet.
I forgot about
Chet. I remember Chet. Yeah, you never see his head because he's so tall. Are you ready with your recap? Everyone's favorite recap of anything ever. Do you know that there's a fella on the interwebs who is graphing how close you are to 30 seconds?
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I really like
bet,
that.
I'm telling you, they should bet in Vegas. This should be a Vegas thing.
All right.
How close do I get to 30? All right, you ready?
Are you ready? Are you Mark's cassette? Go.
JD wants to break up with Danny. Dr. Cox can't get over how happy he is. Elliot's bullied for wanting to look good. And Todd practices sex on a CPR dummy. Some people love to work and or live in chaos. And I get it. Being able to function when the world is loud and crazy is an attribute not many possess from the jump. As you grow older, you learn to cope. The crazy thing is, we go so hard, we become so used to the chaos. We then crave it. It fuels us. We're at our best when our backs are against the wall. The key is balance, and I've yet to find it.
Wow. That was 37. That's your sweet spot. Very nicely said, Donald. Balance. I don't know if we ever find balance until they shovel us into a hearse. Do we ever find balance? Maybe if you're like a yogi or a spiritual religious person who can get in touch with their inner peace. But I feel like the rest of our lives we're going to be vacillating between moments of peace and mayhem.
But how do you survive? You know, how do stress kills? You know what I mean? But the only way we survive, it seems like, is when stress is on our back. You know, how do we make it in this world? How do I find my peace? You know, I'm my best when my kids are loud in my ear, when the rent is due. You know, when that's just how it is. That's when I'm at my best.
Right. So you feel if you got a lot of money in the bank and your kids are being good and everything is like you don't have any worries that you
I'll
get
find
complacent.
I will find
you get complacent.
I will find another thing to stress about. I promise you.
Yeah, of course. Everybody
it's something
does
that. I think it's something that I've been. I don't think. I you know what? And I my wife is the queen of it. But I think I've inherited it from her. She perceives stress. You know what I mean? She's like, yo, she finds a way, but it motivates her to do things. You know what I mean? It's what she uses as fuel.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's saying what you do too. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I've become accustomed to it and I like it. You know what I mean? It really does work. It works very well. I remember I used to dread the nervous energy that I would get. Now it's like, all right, I can use this as fuel. Keep it going. Just go as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Anyway,
I think a lot of people listening can relate. Also, in our line of work, we're all technically freelance for the most part, and so you're always having to hustle and figure out what your next chess move is. And there's not a lot of security. You could get a job and move to Jersey City, like you did. Or you could get a job and an awesome job that's life changing, but then you don't get another job for a while. And you know, that's a stressful way to operate.
Yeah. And it seems like that's what Cox loves for some reason. Cox seems to love being unhappy because that's really what we're saying. When you're anxious and you're, because it's exactly, and here we go. I'm sorry. I did it already, but here's a Star Wars reference, but it's exactly what Yoda says. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Maybe limit the amount of jazz lettuce you have before the show, because if you
I
start forgetting Star
so
Wars
much,
quotes.
Dude.
Oh, really? You're really high right now.
I am so baked. Anyway.
Okay. Well, there you have it,
everyone. We're going to cut all. No, this
no
is
we're not.
Cut out. Yeah,
why?
We are.
Yeah, we don't have time to cut things today. We got to air this show tomorrow. Normally, ladies and gentlemen, we do these shows a little bit before they air, but because of all sorts of scheduling mayhem, we are recording this today, Monday, and you will hear it Tuesday morning. So we can be so current. We can be so fresh.
I'm nervous. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think it might be some of the weed, but yeah. I am nervous, yes.
Well, maybe you should limit yourself to how much weed you smoke before the show. We have to entertain the world.
You are not my mother. You are not my mom.
I'm just saying the
and
world
my mom doesn't tell me how much weed I smoke either, so please stop.
Okay. So the show opens with JD grabbing some wax off of Turk's beautifully waxed dome.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he didn't have a chance to put any product in his hair. That was very funny.
That was very funny.
And then I took a little extra and put it on my lips.
For the lips. For the.
That was so stupid. This episode was very silly.
A lot of silly moments. The fact, I'm going to jump ahead, but the fact that Kelso's knocked out for that long, too.
Yeah. And everyone hates Kelso, so no one's helping him. He's just lying there on the ground.
On the ground, knocked out.
You know, with Scrubs episodes, you know, the tone can lean a certain direction depending on the mood everyone was in that week in the writer's room. This is a particularly silly episode.
Oh, my gosh. The Mighty Kite.
So the Mighty Kite.
Let's start at the beginning. Yeah, we might as well.
So this is a really funny mislead. So
yeah.
JD, and I didn't catch this. I don't remember this, but JD says hey to a doctor. This episode has a theme about doctors and the female doctors, whether or not they take the time to make themselves look all dolled up or not. Elliot does. Some of the other doctors don't. And JD turns to two that don't and says, hey, so-and-so, is it windy out? And she looks at him like, you know, fuck you. What are you talking about? And then he attempts to cover. And the writers sell this like JD's trying to cover. Oh, no, just because I want to know if my kite team is practicing today. The Mighty Kites, like I'm making it up.
Right, but the thing is the young doctor comes in so disheveled also. Right. That she's looked like she looks like she was in a windstorm.
Right, but it's a very funny mislead for later right. because right. then we learn that no, JD wasn't bullshitting. He is in fact very into his kite right. club.
that consists of only he and Turk.
No, they're missing practice. There's people outside flying kites.
Is that what it is? I thought yes. they were just out. I thought they were just kites. Oh my god,
we're missing, dude. Look how stoned you are. We go, we're missing practice.
Right.
And then we go, Mighty Kite.
Right, then we do the kite thing, yeah.
And so this is the first appearance that JD and Turk are in a. Now, it's funny that the kite club practices in the parking lot of the hospital. It just doesn't feel
like
the
best. It must be other doctors. It just has to
right.
be other doctors.
Right, or they don't have to be doctors. They could be members of the janitorial staff. We just know they probably work at the hospital. It's a hospital kite flying club.
Right.
This episode, we upset Sarah.
This is the grease the face episode.
Yeah. Now it's interesting because it really is fact mirroring fiction with what the story was about. The story, as I said, was about, and I'm assuming they took this from actual doctors because it seems like a real thing. Some female doctors put time in to try and look, you know, makeup up and hair done, and others don't. And Elliot is wrestling with the fact that she wants to look good. We see that she gets up at 5 a.m. and puts on makeup and does her hair. And Kelso's had enough of it. He says, the other doctors are gossiping about you. I don't want this. You're not supposed to look like this as a doctor. Cut it out. Well, so the gag is that Sarah's then supposed to come to the classroom looking the polar opposite from all makeuped up. She's supposed to look bad enough so that Todd can say, hey, Elliot, is it greasy outside? And Sarah kept coming back looking still stunning. She wasn't doing the joke right. that was, you need to look shitty, Sarah. I know it's network TV and you don't want to look shitty, but you got the joke doesn't work if you don't come in looking like shit, right?
It's the funniest thing, man. The makeup that's, you know, supposed to make you look like you don't have makeup on.
Right. So
it
Donald
never
and I,
really works.
Donald and I were trying to be funny and we were like, come on, grease your face. And then we got that whole, if you remember, it's a classroom of like all the principals. And we got everyone chanting, grease the grease face, the face. Grease the grease face, the face. Grease the face, grease the face. Now, this many years later, it's not surprising that Sarah didn't find that funny.
She broke. She started crying when we did that, actually.
Yeah. It was actually we had to apologize.
We had to apologize.
Guys.
Yeah.
Well,
no, this was, come on, man. It was like midnight. It was midnight.
Listen, in our defense, we thought she was laughing with us. She was not. And it was very late, and we were all very silly. And we totally thought she was laughing with us. We learned that she was not, and we promptly apologized.
Right away. I felt horrible about it.
Of course you did.
But that shit's still funny to this day. And I hope she can laugh about it
she
now.
She will. When she comes
I
on,
hope
she'll
she can laugh about it now. But 20 years later,
I remember, grease the face, face. Grease that, Rob. Face. And Rob was like chanting with his arm in the air.
Hey, Elliot, is it greasy out?
That's fine.
Great line. And then what's up, Doc? It's happening, Turk.
Yep, it's happening. What's up, Doc? A lot of fucking big moments in this episode.
A lot of really big moments.
All right,
moments.
Let's go back to it in some form of order. So uncomfortable when someone... Oh, I wanted to say that. You know, there's a couple moments where, like, in the script where they're cutting to people who are supposed to look unattractive. And I always find that so awkward as an actor when you're doing a scene and it's like, all right, these are the two people that have been brought in as the cutaway to unattractive.
I think they're getting paid, and I think they're fine with it.
I know, but I always feel... I'll tell you the truth. When I'm directing and that's the case, I always say, because I feel weird about it, we need to like mess you up and like so the joke works. Like we need to dress you slovenly and fuck up your hair and quote unquote grease the face and like make you look as unattractive as possible for the thing to work. Which is true, but also I want to say it because I feel I haven't done this.
That's your own shit. They know why they're there. They know what they're there to do. They read the script when they got the job. They knew exactly what it was. So to do all of that is just like saying, you got the job, but now I'm going to insult you and say you're not ugly enough. Come
oh, really?
On, man.
So you think that they're like, you trying to say I'm not ugly enough?
No, I think they're saying, you don't have to be so nice to me. I know why I got the job. Don't rub the shit in. Let's just shoot the motherfucking thing so I can go home and cash this check and smoke that weed.
All right. Well, you taught me something. I will no longer tell them they need to grease the face. Why is Danny walking around our apartment in a bra? It makes no sense. I mean, it's a little bit risque, no? But maybe she's so comfortable around Turk.
And we're both doctors.
But I mean, dude, if I was living with you and Casey was walking around in her bra. You've seen
Casey in her bra and underwear. You've seen.
I know, but I'm saying, let's say I was your roommate. Casey probably wouldn't walk around the house in a bra. I just thought it was funny that Tara Reid is walking around in her sexy bra. And my roommate's just like, okay, woo. We're making fun of Married with Children. Isn't it funny, the sitcom convention that... when people kiss, they go, ooh.
That was only on Married with Children, though, wasn't
no,
it?
No, it was like, a lot of sitcoms where they go, oh, ooh.
Right, but as shows got hipper, those went out the window. And
I know. When we did the sitcom spoof on Scrubs, we did all that shit.
We made sure to do that. I loved Married with Children for keeping that because it seemed like the audience was a part of the show. Which they are when you're watching a sitcom.
When you did your sitcoms, because you've done one or two.
Yeah, one? I've done one.
Okay, did the audience do oohs and ahs?
Yeah, but then we, you know, I'm working with Wayne and Kristen and them, and they're like, we don't want the oohs and ahs. We just want the laughs. The oohs and ahs are, you know.
So the audience would do it, and they'd cut it out.
And they'd be like, no.
I think there's something about it. There's something about a live. I think when an audience, they're so conditioned, like Pavlov's dogs, and they get into a sitcom stage and a couple kisses and they don't even know they're doing it. They're just like, ooh.
Ooh. And it's always that obnoxious, right, that Scooby-Doo.
There's something about being in a sitcom audience, if you've never been, that first of all, they crank the AC so it's cold and you're like all fucking high on just like the energy of excitement. And they have a comedian come out who warms you up and gets you all laughing at the stupidest shit because they want you in a very silly mood. And you just start laughing at things that you would never likely laugh at if you saw the sitcom on at home. But in the audience there, all hyped up, you're just cracking up at everything. Right, Dom?
Yeah, well, absolutely. But the person that's in the audience is always great. And if you're on the show, you watch the same shtick every week. But the new audience comes in and they've never seen it. And it's really funny to watch, because it's like watching a stand-up just work their act. And work their act and work their act. And you see the same thing. And sometimes it kills and sometimes it doesn't. And as an actor doing your scenes and everything, it's always sometimes it's a cool break to look out into the audience and see, you know, another show going on, you know, while you're working on your craft. So the whole sitcom thing is a great experience. You're right, Zach.
If you come to America
opens up again.
Yeah.
Please.
It is fun. I got to say, even though sitcoms aren't, there's not that many left anymore. If you were in, if you do come as a tourist to visit Hollywood, it is a fun experience to have just because it probably won't be around for forever. And it's a pretty fun experience, I think. And you don't have to stay the whole time.
Well, that was the great thing about the Zoom thing. They were talking about it like it was theater. I can't wait for theater to come back. I'm missing that now. Like, that's going to be great. That's magical just to feel the energy. I mean, I do worry about all those people in one room. But for it to be back, I can't wait.
Well, 2022, okay? Yeah. 2022, we'll go see a play.
2025.
No. Well, JD said on our show that he's not going to feel comfortable being in a theater until 2022. He was speaking about a movie theater, but I think we can assume it goes for theater as well. So I'm going to go by what real JD says.
So 2025.
Now, very funny when I imagine that I'm a ghost and I land and I go, I touch you and I go to reach for your bugles.
Right.
And then my ghost hand goes through your groin and you go, quote,
ooh, your ghost hands is cold.
Your ghost hands is cold. Now this is a classic Scrubs moment with Turk with the bugles on his fingers doing witch hands right into the lens for some weird reason. I mean, why are you breaking the fourth wall looking right into the barrel for?
This is what was asked of me, and so it was done.
It's only a handful of moments directly into the lens breaking the fourth wall, and Turk looks right at the audience and does a scary witch.
Yeah, straight up. That was I remember that, and I've since had my son do that, and he loved, whenever bugles are in the house, he will put them on the tips of his
fingers.
I
don't think I've had a bugle in my presence since this joke.
Really?
Why, kids still love bugles?
They're around every now and then. You'll find some.
If you live in another country, you know what they are from watching Scrubs, but it is a Dorito-like thing shaped...
like a bugle.
Like a bugle. Daniel, Joelle, are you consumers of bugles?
In my weed-addled states, most certainly. Otherwise,
weed,
not so much.
Weed-addled.
Bugles are good. I stick them on the fingers, you know.
Yeah.
Daniel got on a dope shirt. You have no idea what that shirt is, do you?
It's so easy.
It's so easy. No,
I know what it is. Wait, don't say anything. Wait, hold up. Do you know what it's from? No?
Are you asking me?
Look it up. No, I know you
so
know.
It's so easy to fall in love. Is it that?
No, it's a De La Soul song. It goes,
there you
it's
go.
So easy. It's so easy. It's dope. I fell in love with this fish who got caught in my mesh. Hey, yo, she burned my scene up like David Koresh. I guess a diamond ain't nothing but a rock with a name. Anyway.
All right, we're going to go to break. But before we go to break, I want to tell you a few trivia things from Scrubs Wiki. This is the first appearance of World's Most Giant Doctor.
Yes.
According to the DVD commentary, the Elliot subplot of this episode was spawned from the behind-the-scenes detail that it was time-consuming to always have Sarah Chalk so heavily made up and groomed in every scene. And we also learned that Laverne has worked at Sacred Heart for 23 years. That is the trivia for My Clean Room.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
And we're back.
And we're back. Yo, dude, the janitor and Elliot in this episode is hilarious, dude. Yes.
It's his first time calling her blonde doctor, I think, right? Or no, second
time?
Oh,
I think he called her that before. But just the fact that, you know, he cheers her up and picks her up and gives her a ride, actually, on his
mop cart.
Janitor in his cart. Yeah.
To the morgue.
Yeah.
He's
definitely in love with her.
Yeah.
He's definitely in love. But he's I think that spawned from us thinking that Neil was in love with Sarah. And then
do you think Neil was in love with Sarah?
I don't know. I don't think he was. I thought shoot. I don't know where it came from, to be honest with you. But it's such a great storyline between the two of them, how much the janitor is obviously in love with her, and she so freaking needs an ally at the hospital. Yeah. It just so happens to be the most diabolical person in the hospital.
But not to her. He loves her. And Kelso, it's funny. It was a funny shot, by the way, when Kelso is looking at Sarah and telling her not to wear all the makeup, and you see the bangs in front of the lens. That was funny. Yeah. Chris Koch, director. Good Chris joke. Koch. And then we learned that Kelso's son, this is one of the, another thing, you know, we're always learning about Kelso's son. We learned that he wears makeup and shaves his, quote, fun zone.
Also, Tyra Banks and, was it Heidi Klum?
Yes.
A whole elaborate
plan for those two and JD and Turk.
Where Tyra Banks runs over Turk's mom in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Turk doesn't care necessarily about his mom because he's so happy to be with Tyra Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Carla then asked, well, what about your mom? and Turk says, JD, you tell her. And then JD proceeds to tell her that what they're going to do is, well, first of all, my mom doesn't die. Turk's mom doesn't die. What they do is, they take her brain and they put it into Heidi Klum's body. And she falls in love with JD and they live happily ever after. And at first, it's kind of weird because it's my mom.
Right.
But in the end, I learned to live with it.
Yeah. Bizarre.
Dude, I was like, I'm so happy I smoked weed to watch this.
This episode was so surreal.
Like, this is great.
Like, I'm telling you, this is like, you know, you'll find episodes of Scrubs that are not this stoner, weird, bizarre. Like, but this is one of them ones that has a lot of very silly things.
Really silly stuff.
And that classroom, it made me want, I remember we were shooting this. We were doing this thing with the class and Cox is teaching a class. I thought that was so funny. I wish we had done more of that dynamic. It reminds me of The Office, the show The Office, when they would have the meetings in the room. They're always so hysterical. Yeah. And this episode, that, those scenes where we're all talking over each other and bouncing back and forth with the dialogue, I thought was really funny. And wish we had done it more.
Yeah, shout out Johnny Castle. Shout out
Johnny Rob Castle Michelle. was hilarious, who plays Doug. And first of all, I find it funny that Cox is teaching them something about a defibrillator. Like, I'm pretty sure these guys know how to use a defibrillator at this point. I didn't understand what he was like teaching them how to defibrillate a mannequin. Like, I think that's been covered in med school.
Don't you try to take CPR every year? Like, you forget it, don't you? Like,
not if you're a doctor doing it.
Right. I guess that's true.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird.
I don't know. I would imagine a cardiologist is, I don't know. I don't know, man.
We learned that Danny trimmed Rowdy's anus hairs.
You guys,
does Danny have a job? Does she have a job? What does
I don't
she
know.
Do?
I don't know. But JD and Danny are perfect for each other.
She's just sitting at home, like, dressing up Rowdy and trimming his anus hairs.
Yeah.
A dead dog.
Yeah.
Did they ever say what her job is?
No.
Not that I remember.
Yeah.
They didn't, but don't you? But I also believe that I like as much as he's in love. This is what she was also saying. Like, she's perfect for him. If you listen to what she does, she told people, "Hey, bring toilet paper if you come over." Like, all of the things that JD needs in she's almost exactly like him, right. And he can't see it because he's so in love.
He's in love with Elliot.
With Elliot.
He's blind to it. By the way, how funny is it? Another super stoner silly thing. And when I mention my scarf collection, and then I look at her scarf and I go, ooh. Oh, because I left my cell phone on, and that's how she heard. And I go, right, that's oh, how man. She heard. That's yeah. how Turk heard about my scarf collection. Ooh. Oh, that's a gif. My stupid, silly celebratory dance.
And then going back to the.
And then turning sad. And then yeah. celebrating. He really was so not into her. He just liked. He just liked sex with her, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He had no feelings for her.
Which is crazy because she seemed like she was great.
Yeah, the character seemed like a good match. But as you said, love trumps all.
Yeah. Over
sorry
everything.
Sorry to say that word. All right, let's bring let's in get the into guest.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a guest for you, everybody. Very exciting here at Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
I'm very excited as well.
Really? Are you? Do you know something I don't know?
Oh! Roy Bellamy in the house.
Roy Bellamy. What a special day at Fake Doctors, Real Friends, everybody.
Beautiful people, beautiful people. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
It's so nice to meet you.
Welcome to the show. It's Roy Bellamy.
There you go, Roy.
I appreciate that.
Roy, you got your very official Donald Faison Oprah intro, which is the greatest honor we bestow upon our guests.
Time of my life. Thank you, Donald. I really appreciate you doing that for me, man.
Roy, thank you so much for being a fan. Not only are you a big fan, but you are always so kind and blowing us up on Twitter and telling all your followers about us. So we really appreciate it. We appreciate your love.
Well, I got to tell you, it's very, very much an honor to be with two men who I've spent a long time watching on the television and in the movies. And it's also a real, real pleasure to spend some time with two people who are in my industry who knows exactly what's going on right now in Joel and Daniel.
So, now, do you know, how do you know Daniel?
How do you guys know each other?
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter.
Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Twitter. That's it. Twitter. It's the best. It's Twitter. Yeah. It's the best.
Twitter friends. You're Twitter friends.
Yep. That's how
I know. Well, Daniel and Joel are coming, like, you know, are gaining Twitter, celebrity status. Their followers are climbing. You got to follow them all on Twitter. Follow Daniel Goodman and Joelle Monique and Roy Bellamy on
definitely
Twitter
follow Roy
because they thank are you good tweeters and people really like them. Although Joelle, you said something quite controversial that I don't know that I agree with.
What? Okay, let's get into it. Ooh. Here we go.
Well, far be it from me. I don't know that I.
This is how you know it's a bullshit statement, because he started with, far be it from me.
Well, no, I disagree. I like the new Fincher movie, and I don't think Joelle did.
Oh, I thought it was a beautiful movie. I just didn't think any of the women were authentic human beings.
I could get that.
They were all very much just there to support a guy. They're all like, oh, he's a genius. We got to just let him go. Be drunk and a genius. I can't have any emotions about it. I'm a lady.
So this is that new Mank movie?
Yeah, Mank.
Yes.
Yeah, Mank.
Well, I encourage people to look at it, even with Joelle's critique.
Definitely watch it. The black and white is gorgeous. There is,
you know, you hear this about films. You could, but this is the ultimate case. You could hit pause at any moment on that movie, and you would put that photograph on your wall. It is absolutely stunning. The cinematography is so beautiful. And, I'm sure the movie's not for everyone because it's not a lot happens. It's basically about an alcoholic writer's struggle to write Citizen Kane. But I thought the acting was great, and I thought it was beautifully shot.
Amanda Seyfried did what she needed to do.
She was good.
Super talented.
I want Fincher to cast me one day.
What did Amanda Seyfried do?
She plays, what's the name of the movie star she plays?
I'll have to look it up.
Okay.
Okay, so what is it that she did that it was so impressive?
She's just really solid performer. Like, I feel like Amanda Seyfried is obviously talented. She's done a lot of great things. Mm-hmm. But lately she's been doing a lot of, like, camp stuff, which she's great at and is a lot of fun. But, like, she came in this movie, I'm like, all right, this girl is a very serious actress. Like, right. What she's doing with that character and how she's...
It's hard to remember that because of the singing and dancing that she did recently is what you're trying to say, right?
You know, you see Mamma Mia and you're like, this is great for an entirely different set of reasons.
No, what she's saying is the movie reminds you that Amanda's very talented. And exactly. I agree. I thought she did a wonderful job.
She plays Marion Davies.
Yeah, Marion Tavies, who was a movie star at the time, who was married to Hearst.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, check it out, everybody. I recommend it. Roy, you are on a nationally syndicated radio show, not a podcast. I was corrected.
There have been some changes to that. So Dan's contract with ESPN mutually has been kaput. So
like when?
Is this the first? Is this the first? Is this an exclusive? Is this an exclusive?
This happened on Thursday, and all the rags and the media.
So no, it's an exclusive. It's an exclusive.
It's an exclusive. Roy, don't ruin our exclusive. We love our exclusive.
I will not ruin it. It is an exclusive.
This is an exclusive
from Roy Bellamy. Go ahead, Roy.
Go ahead, Roy, give our listeners the exclusive only on Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
So Dan and ESPN have mutually agreed to part ways. Our final ESPN show will be January 4th. And you can catch us from there on out where you normally would catch us on podcasts, wherever you get your podcast on January 5th. So,
and what's the name of the show, Roy?
It's the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz.
Okay.
Stugatz.
Now, I know nothing about sports, Roy. You probably know from listening to the podcast. But Bill Lawrence, who, if there's a Venn diagram of both of our lives, it overlaps with Bill Lawrence, who loves being on your guys' show. And he says it's a lot like this, except instead of rambling nonsense and occasionally talking about Scrubs, you guys talk about sports.
That's right. And partially why I'm here is I am here to convince Zach to listen to our show.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm here to do that is because Zach is not a sports fan, and if you are not a sports fan, our show is for you.
Okay.
Because we make fun of sports.
All right. But aren't you guys going to reference people that I won't know? They'll be like, oh, my God, Jim Simpson and that dunk last night. And I will be like, I didn't see the dunk.
Wait, who dunked it?
Jim Simpson.
big Jim Simpson.
Big Jim.
Big Jim Simpson.
We also do stuff like athletes that connote plants, like Tree Rollins and Eric Flowers and stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah, we do stuff
wait,
like
I'll
that.
Try it. Tree Rollins connotes plant?
Yeah.
Yeah, a tree is a plant. A tree is a plant.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying Tree Rollins like snipped plants like
no, he thought you were saying smokes plants. Donald, focus, okay? Focus. Roy, before you got on, Donald revealed to our listeners that...
It wasn't a big reveal.
On most shows, he's only mildly high, but today he's decided to be very high.
Very good of you. That's very good of you, Donald. You deserve to be high. And
you are deserving, sir. You are deserving.
This is also the first time I get to look at Donald's closet. This is really nice.
Yes. That's
I don't got shit in it. It ain't like I got some fly stuff in here. It's just, you know, my golf shirts.
You got more than I do. I can use a few golf shirts myself.
All right, Roy, do you have a question for any of us?
Oh, wow. That's the one thing I didn't really think of. I was okay, so excited well, we to could, on the show. I don't even have a question. Jeez.
It could be for Daniel or Joelle if you want, because no one really asked them questions. It doesn't have to be Scrubs related.
That's good. Well, Daniel and Joelle, as I said, you guys are in my industry, and I just want to know, what do you guys aspire to be as you guys grow into your career?
Very good question.
Great question.
Podcasting is super new. And so we don't, it's an exciting industry to be in because it, much like film or radio in their infancy, you don't know what the heights are. Like what, there's people constantly breaking new boundaries and trying new things. And we're still trying to figure out, you know, what distinguishes this space from radio. And so I think I just want to be on the cutting edge of that is my goal is like, as I explore, like, what are the limits of this and just testing out new things and trying different forms of podcasts, I think. That's what's exciting. You know, and eventually I wouldn't mind having like a full slate of shows that are just mine. Like I handcrafted, I curated all the talent. That's the next step anyway.
We're whiteboarding that idea right there.
Yeah, you got to put that on your whiteboard. You guys put that on your whiteboard. Their long-term goal is to tour all of Europe and the United States in a bus with me and Donald.
I want to go to New Zealand. Let's do it.
Wait. Oh, yeah, I would love to tag on that bus, by the way. I would love to be
on that
bus.
The only place in the world, well, we're not allowed in, but if we were allowed in, the only place we could tour would be New Zealand. Truly. All right, Daniel, how about you? What answer the question for Roy.
I
I feel similarly to Joelle's answer, but honestly, from a facilitative standpoint, I want to facilitate, you know, strong voices and getting people the space that they deserve on podcasts. I kind of like the idea of being, I don't want to say like an, well, yeah, it kind of like an A&R. Like, I love people's ideas. I love people who have strong personalities and strong voices. And I feel like, you know, I'm at this point, we're on the inside. We're on this industry. We're in this industry. So yeah, having that outlet for people, yeah, and you know, being able to help people give their voice to the world is that's what I want to do.
You guys, first of all, I just want to say you're selling yourselves a little bit short because really? Yeah, because I feel like what you just both said you could achieve in you are achieving and can achieve in a year. You guys yeah. are, first of all, you for those of you who don't recall in our listening audience, these two people weren't supposed to talk
ever.
Joelle was our
ever.
Joelle was our
Hold
producer.
On. Hold on, we need to stress that.
Right.
We need to stress that. I remember the conversation. So we got Daniel and Joelle. Zach, are they ever going to talk? No, they're never going to talk. Okay, good. They're never going to talk. Flash cut to now. Dude, right. Thank now God you guys spoke.
No, my point is that we when we created this thing, we had no fucking idea what it was going to be, and Dial and I certainly didn't think this many people would be listening. And then Joelle and Daniel are such interesting personalities themselves, and so great on the podcast that we want more and more, and the fans love them and they love when they contribute. And I know when I don't know that answer to that thing that I'll bet your bottom dollar Daniel does. And same with Joelle. And Joelle, when you did our little recap show, you were just so charming and your voice sounded so good. I think you guys should, you can do both. You should curate and be an A&R type fellow, Daniel, and anyone who has a great podcast idea should slide into Daniel's Twitter feed and hit him up. And same thing with Joelle. But at the same time, you should curate your own shows where you're on-air talent, because I think you guys really are talented broadcasters.
Well, a very brief peek behind the curtain, but before everything went under, Joelle and I were hosting a podcast together. So
what was it about?
What was the name of it?
We'll get into like a very brief like synopsis of it. Basically, y'all know Daniel loves the video games. You know, I'm a nerd. I do the tabletop and the comic books and the movies and the TV. And along with our friend Rosie Knight, who writes for Nerdist, the three of us were just talking about nerd news stuff every Friday for like 2.5 hours. And it was incredible because Daniel will give us like updates on, the sports like teams that are.
I was the esports corner. Esports corner. It was the weather report for esports. What's happening here?
It was amazing because I know nothing about it, but it was so huge, and he would tell us about these like large cash prizes and the drama going on between the teams. And I imagine, much like Roy and the people who don't like sports but will enjoy listening to the show, it was like, oh my God, I didn't know there was so much like life and vitality in this thing that I'm not regularly engaging in. And then Rosie would come in and just be like off the cuff brilliant. And it was a lot of fun. So we're hoping now that we have a good flow for COVID and our other shows are good and solid, we can take off again.
Yeah.
You guys should totally do that, man, because there is definitely a corner for that.
Mm-hmm.
Joelle, you know, Zach hit me up and was like, Donald, why are you procrastinating with the Star Wars podcast?
Yeah, I had an intervention.
What did you tell him?
I had an intervention.
Thank you, Zach.
I didn't realize I was procrastinating.
You're like, what are you doing? We're not doing anything. You happen to, I'm sorry, let me go off on one little rant. You happen to be in a position, like very few people are lucky to be in, where you can entertain people from your closet. And people love this show. We know that. And we're so grateful to our listeners. And our listeners who have the same level of love for Star Wars that you two are very interested in an offshoot, because they certainly don't want y'all talking about it on here. So they're very
That's
interested.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding. I know some of them are. But they're very interested in this offshoot. And I just don't know why you wouldn't do it. Do we lose Roy?
Oh, no. I think his internet may have dropped.
Okay, Roy's like, Roy. I don't want to be on the show anymore.
Roy's like, fuck the show.
I'm done.
Anyway, I'll
leave
it to you
guys.
I said
what I had to say. Dan left ESPN. We got a new podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, I'm out. They're not talking to me anyway.
Anyway,
I want you back.
Donald, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. I just think
No, I totally want to do it. I totally want to do it. I sent in my stuff.
Joelle, just Joelle, just always.
There's... Roy, what are you doing, man? Yeah, Roy, you don't like us?
My internet's being fussy. It's
Roy, do we bore you? What the hell?
No. What's going on here?
Absolutely not.
It looked like you hung up on us, Roy.
No, I am. I apologize. This has been
it was like you got all the information out that you needed to get out. You didn't have a question for us also. Yeah. So you got all the information out. You didn't have a question for us. And then you was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys, actually.
All right, go ahead.
So if there's a Scrubs table read, much like what Veep has done, or maybe like
for charity.
Something, for charity or the Georgia runoffs in this situation, would you guys get together and do it?
Absolutely. Yes. Bill Lawrence has already brought this to our attention. I would like to personally do it for No Kid Hungry, but I'm sure a lot of charities will be brought to the table. And I suggested to Bill that we do the Wizard of Oz episode because I think that's a really good episode, but I don't know that he'll choose that one. But Donald, you've said yes. Everyone said yes. You know, for charity, everyone instantly said yes. So we just need... Problem is that I don't know who's... Someone needs to wrangle it. I don't know who's going to wrangle it. Donald... I mean, sign me Donald. That's for dang sure.
No.
The only thing Donald's wrangling is nuggets into that bowl.
No, you got to put it in the grinder first. You put it in the grinder first. You grind it down. You got to grind it down.
All right. Roy, let's fix your life. It's time for everybody's favorite segment. Ready with the cue.
It's time to... Fix your life.
All right. This better be a good one, Roy, because we're very good at this. We've saved a lot of people's lives on the show.
Okay.
Like, I'm already going to say you're welcome. I think it's fair to say you're welcome.
All right. So as you guys know, sometimes a radio producer's career can be in flux. And as you heard me say earlier, kind of lost my job at ESPN. But I still have a job with the show, obviously. Right. So what does one do to be able to control one's career future in said medium?
That's a great question.
Well, that's almost a better question for Joelle and Daniel, but you're talking about in the podcast broadcasting medium?
In radio and podcasts and television.
It seems to me that you have two friends here who are very, very dialed in at iHeart. So if I were you, I would make a list of the things and the shows that most would interest you and bring them to Joelle and Daniel. And obviously, if you can bring some talent with you that, you know, has some name notoriety, that always helps. I'm sure you've met other people that you can sort of wrangle. Bill Lawrence is obsessed with you. You could wrangle Bill, for God's sakes. But, and come up with a show. I mean, if I was in your position, I just lost my job. You obviously have a skill set that is unique and not everybody has.
Have an audience, too, already.
You obviously have an audience already. You have a Twitter following already. I would go, here are... five ideas that I think could be dope ass shows that are unique that no one's doing. Here's some talent that I could reach out. And if they're not co-hosting with me, I guarantee you they'll make regular appearances because I'm dialed in. You're dialed in with a lot of people in the sports community, I'm sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I would go to gatekeepers like Joelle and Daniel and be like, hey guys, can you help me bring this to iHeart? Because I think it's a good idea. Joelle can get anyone on iHeart on the phone in 2 seconds. So I would work on my pitch. Joelle shaking her head. No,
most people, 85%.
We can make some calls. We can get some calls going.
We could definitely.
The point is they are dialed, and you don't want to waste your shot though. You don't want to phone it in and be like, I don't know, I thought about this for 10 minutes here. No, I would make up like a beautiful pitch document and like have your pitch down so that when you get on the phone with a Will Pearson, who's our iHeart overlord or whoever it is, you're like, all right, Will. And it's the classic sales thing where you're like, this is a no-brainer. They may have you do a pilot where you crush it and kill it, and then you're off to the races. Joelle, Daniel, add something to that, please.
Yeah, do all of those things Zach just said, but then just email me. Email, you have my Twitter. We'll work it out. Yep. We will share. But also, share Beyond Us, cover all your bases. But yeah, I mean, it's a thriving industry in these COVID times specifically, and it sounds like we're going to be inside for another year. So, spend the rest of this year getting together and then hit off next year ready to go.
I was just going to say, you have a leg up because you there's a lot of people I'm sure listening who have a, who might have some really cool podcast ideas, but they don't have the built-in fan base that you already have. That they too. Don't have access to names that people that you probably are friendly with. So you have a leg up. Go ahead, Daniel.
I was just going to add that, you know, the nice thing about podcasts is that as a medium, they welcome so many perspectives, voices, faces, personalities to the space that, like, it doesn't just have to be ESPN owns sports podcasts or X brand owns the idea of sports podcasting. I think, truth be told, I think everything is underrepresented in podcasting. The only thing, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to make a bad joke, but like everything is underrepresented in podcasting. So I highly recommend you take every opportunity.
I don't think interviewing celebrities is underrepresented.
I was going to make some sort of joke podcast, like that, but I would
don't have your podcast be interviewing celebrities.
Yeah, don't call it What the Fuck with Marc Maron or something like that.
By the way, I'm on today, by the way. Did you know
that?
That's
right. Hey! Oh my God.
Of all by the way, of all the zillion podcasts for you to randomly make a reference to, I'm on.
Is the one you're on today.
I'm on What the Fuck with Marc Maron today.
Oh, it's so, amazing.
If you're listening to this, it's Tuesday, tomorrow, so it came out. So go check that out. Yeah. It's actually, you know, a lot like Howard Stern, he kind of gets you to start talking about shit you don't normally talk about. And we went deep. We talked about grief. And we talked about depression, and we talked about OCD, which I had as a child. He got me talking, and I was just, I don't know, I was just, my lips were flapping. So I was really, really candid with him. And
can't wait to listen.
He lost his wife, partner, and I, of course, lost Nick. And we've both had a lot of grief in our life in the last few years, and we went there. We went there together. So it's really good.
Sounds a lot like the questioning that Dan Lobitoir does during his interview subjects.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. We call him the grief eater because he loves to dive in and focus in on your whatever happened in your life that you might have, you know, grieved over. And
well,
stuff.
I think that's interesting. Listen, you know, I think there's something about radio that is different. You know, when you go on a talk show, you're just saying your five rehearsed anecdotes that you've figured out. Whereas radio is just, you know, especially the great interviewers like Howard, I think, is, and Marc Maron is. And you're just sitting there, you just feel like you're talking. I mean, and I hope we do it a little bit on this show, although we mostly stay silly, but of course sometimes we get serious here. But you know, you just feel like you're talking to your friends. And then all of a sudden, an hour and a half's gone by, and you're like, Jesus, I've never told anyone that story, but I just told Marc Maron. Okay.
Well, not only Marc Maron, but all of his listeners too.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's good. I always say, you know, we talk about grief, and a lot of people can relate to grief, and we talk about depression, and a lot of people can relate to depression. And I think it's healthy especially for nowadays. People to feel like, hey, I'm not fucking alone, you know? I'm not alone.
No.
Absolutely.
All right, Roy, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, yes, welcome, sir.
Roy. I'm very much and welcome. Thank
and
you.
And Roy,
thank
tell
you.
Everyone
some jewels that you could sell if you choose. I'm just
Roy,
saying.
Tell everyone what your Twitter handle is so they can follow you and build your audience right now.
I am at Roy Belly, R-O-Y-B-E-L-L-Y, at Roy Belly.
Incredible and, Twitter follow.
And follow thank him. You. He's very funny, and most importantly, he's a big fan of our show, so that's why we really like him. But thank you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And we're
absolutely.
Excited to see what you come up with.
Yeah, seriously. Yes. We'll look for some emails.
And please don't have it be about two African-Americans obsessed with Star Wars, because that's taken.
Got that covered.
You got it. Got that covered. Yeah. Anytime you guys would have me, I'm available. And,
are you a Star Wars geek?
I am unfortunately not.
Okay. Well, you're not right for that podcast.
Well, thank you, Bill. Roy, that's all we got time for. You be well.
Oh, my God. Man.
Roy, that's it.
Hater.
All right, Roy. Thanks
Roy,
for
thank
on
you
the
so
show.
Much. Take care, Roy.
Thank
be
you.
Well.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Right. Take care. Bye. Have a good one.
Bye.
I think we give good advice, right?
I think so.
Great advice.
I think that's the best advice you could give anybody.
Too bad. The poor guy lost his job.
Yeah, but he's in a great position right now. He's not in one of those positions. There are a lot of people that are in way worse positions in when they lost their jobs,
of course,
because of COVID and stuff like that. So
maybe he got a severance. You think he got a? You think maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. But his line of work, there's still opportunity for him right now. Unlike a lot of people.
Well, and like I said, most importantly for him, he's got some legs up. He could make it happen if he hustles hard.
Absolutely.
Let's finish the
Scott
show up.
Scott Gerber at the end of the line of women. First of all, JD went to soccer camp.
Why is JD at soccer camp? Although I did go to tennis camp for what it's worth, so maybe he was trying to try to get into a sport. I don't know.
I just thought it was hilarious.
Jordan Feldman, by the way, went to Northwestern with me. He played Scott Gerber. That's cool. And so there you go. He showed up, and I was like, Jordan, you're playing my...
Very funny. Very funny scene, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very funny. JD is,
when you said you wanted to... I thought you wanted to be better teammates. I didn't.
And then I say that he wore my jersey as a nightgown or something?
As a nightgown.
So stupid.
Oh boy.
Right, then we reveal at the end that Johnny is not talking to his therapist, but he is talking to his baby.
Yeah.
And
that'll do it for you, man. I mean, I'm telling you right now, your life changes. And everybody jokes about this, and everyone who has kids knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so when you see something like this, as cliche as this, it still strikes a nerve, you know what I mean? I figured it out at some point earlier on that he was talking to his kid, because it just didn't make sense that Cox would let down his guard for anyone other than his child, you know?
Well,
what
we'd
I mean?
Seen him in therapy. I mean,
yeah, but even in therapy he's very combative, you know what I mean? And and it's just not in his character. And I was like, either, you know, especially, we talk about this all the time, not necessarily remembering this episode. It was like, this would have to be a total shift in tone for Dr. Cox if this was going to be his character for the rest of the show. So I was like, there has to be a hook in there. Where's the hook? And I was like, oh, snap, he's talking to his kid.
Well, I thought it was very funny that he's like, we saw Dr. Cox experience happiness. And then he realized he couldn't really do his job effectively happy.
That's great.
Really good. Really good. The end song that I had was certainly not a Ryan Adams song. Rescue Blues is the Ryan Adams song that's in the original. Whatever I listened to on iTunes, no offense to the replacement artist, but it was not a jam for me.
Well, you know, speaking of jams, I thought, you know, we could go out with the show. My brother has this wonderful song.
Olamide
Faison has this wonderful song about friendship and the times that we're going through right now and how we can all use, you know, the help of, and you know, of our fellow human beings on this planet. And so that's the show.
That's the show. Before you count into Olamide, we want to shout out everyone for listening. We love you. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. If you're in one of these hot zones, which I think is now pretty much the entire country, we're not going to convince you of anything you don't want to do. But if you do care, we say, as fake doctors, stay home. Stay inside unless you have to go somewhere. Wear a mask if you do.
Don't just think about yourself. Think about everybody else. You know,
there's these stories where people go to a wedding, right, and they get infected and bring it home and then kill, like, their grandparents because they didn't get sick or they were asymptomatic, but they brought that shit home and killed, like, multiple people. So if you're not worried about yourself, think about being a carrier and killing somebody else. We got to end on a high note, though. I took it dark. How do we get back? How do we get back, Donald?
Make a fart noise.
No, fart noise.
We get it back like this, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening ears, for your pleasure, for your happiness, for your joy. Can I get a amen?
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give it up for my brother from the same mother and father, Olamide Faison. 5, 6, 7, 8.
I woke up feeling all this sorrow. I wish I hadn't need to borrow. See what I feel inside is killing me. No doctor can prescribe the remedy. So I chose to call you up. It's been a while, hope you answer. I hope to feel a little better.
insincerity. Now my eyes tear when I hear the words I can't breathe. It's sad because that's my reality. When a heart needs patching up, are you the one I can't count on? I hope to feel a little better from the sound of your hello. And if not now, when will this change? The world is crying from all the hate. Not sitting back, not doing anything, it's driving me insane. I just need you, friend. Don't know where to begin or where our story ends. But oh, I just need you, friend. I'm tired of pretending.